BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds, and just about everything sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Yeah. Boogie like Benson, I'm a who that.
I'm a who that.
Long as I'm living, I'm a who that.
I'm a who that.
Lose or winning, I'm a who that. Sports coma, yeah, this is where we do that. 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 Boogie like Benson,
I'm a who that.
I'm a who that. Sports coma, this is where we do that.
Where we do that.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Somebody please better help. Running this thing like elf. Thank God every day I'm not a felt. Go to YouTube live with Big Q and the guys. If you ain't ride or die, the bandwagon get flipped. Been marching in, that was way for the ring. I was yelling out your shame for the championship. Fucking on town, duck down. Falcons, pluck, get shut down. Panthers ain't much, touchdown. The vision really belong to us now. So much hate on the Saints, you could probably tell. Ever since Bounty Gate hit the NFL, when things seem fishy, then you probably smell. The crooked referees are Roger Goodell. Look, yeah. Like this, and
I'm a who that.
Every day I'm living,
I'm a who that.
Lose or winning,
I'm a who that.
It's the sports coma, this is where we do that.
Where we do that
at. Where we do that at. Where we do that, where we do that, where we do that at. Boogie like this and
I'm a who that.
It's the sports coma, this is where we do that.
Where we do that.
You're listening to the sports coma with Big Q and the guys on the PRO Media Network.
And I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers matchup, the Saints rebound in this one. I think the Saints get the victory. I think the Saints come back home to familiar surroundings. I think we get back to running the football against this team. Remember, Vita Vea, I know he lost a ton of weight and all this kind of stuff, and they got a few pieces there from the defensive side that they lost. They picked up a few people in free agency. We know that that's week six in there, so you start seeing teams kind of gel a bit. But I also think that the Saints, with Clint Kubiak starts, his offense start cooking there. And we really, because remember, another thing is, too, it usually take them like a month to a month and a half to see what goes on. Most of the time, it's a month for us to really start seeing if they know what they're doing. So, like, you get them, because in the preseason, you won't see very much. You'll see these people here or there. You might see a couple of glimpses of them in practice. But really, it takes like at least a month for you to for them to have a live game experience going on, those guys, that collection of people out there on the field at the same time. And you really start seeing after those 4 weeks, things start happening and they start figuring out what they need to do to win some of these games, relying on their strong suits. So I think the Saints beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think they get to run in the game, running the ball. And listen, I think the defense for the Saints is going to be a top 10 defense. I wouldn't be surprised this year if the Saints is a top 5 defense if they stay healthy. I know I've already anticipated, I predicted that Lattimore will more than likely get traded between June 1st and the start of the season. You know, so they'll be relying on cornerbacks like Kool-Aid McKinstry once he's healthy, or Will Harris, who the Saints signed to a 1-year deal, who could play a little corner for him, perhaps in safety for him. So he's a veteran commodity that he can do what they got to do. But despite that, I still think the Saints up front with the additions of Chase Young along, you know, helping out Carl Granderson, Cam coming off the bench as the situational guy, and then Willie Gay beating out Pete Werner for the linebacker position gives them a very fast and excellent linebacker who can cover tight ends, that can move around. And I think the Saints interior defensive line with the addition of Christian Boyd and the maturation of Brian Brisee, I think interiorly the Saints stop people from running the ball. We won't have all that gashing going on because those big guys are going to keep the linebackers clean for most of the year where they can move around and do some stuff. And I anticipate in the dome against Tampa Bay, I think the Saints get the victory against them. So with that being said, so where am I at? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And that will put the Saints at 3-3 right there, fam. So we're keeping it going. All right. And then, of course, Sean Payton. Coach Payton returns October the 17th. It's a Thursday game. It's going to be a primetime matchup. Payton returns to the home, the dome in which he built the, over the last 20 years, all the success that he's had here. Coach Payton brings his excellent offensive system into the Superdome with a young team to try to take on the Saints. And I think that the Saints will beat Sean Payton on that Thursday night. You know, some of these games, and I used to say back in the days, on Thursday night games, I always anticipate like some of the primetime games, the Saints will step up. But for this team, it's a certain degree of, it's going to be a certain degree of urgency over the top of the team because, you know, and you would think that that will kind of promote the head coach to kind of do things a little differently. But I do think that'll be a good matchup of systems. Like we'll see Clint Kubiak's system up against Sean Payton's system. And that'll be interesting. It could be very well a shoot up. I know Bo Nix is supposed to be the guy. He'll be the quarterback there and he'll be a rookie. And I think we should be able to take advantage of that. If he remains there, I think they count on Bo Nix. Bo Nix is a very experienced college quarterback. He played as much time as he could play in college. But the pro game level is a little different. He'll be 6-7 weeks into the season. So I still say if you put up a rookie against the Saints defense and they're healthy and they're firing off all cylinders, I'm going to take the Saints defense any day. So I'm going to say the Saints beat Payton on his get back game. So the Saints go up to 4-3 right there after taking down Payton. So right now we're on a little mini streak. We beat Tampa Bay on October the 13th. We took out the Sean Payton, paid him back for leaving and gave him an L as he leaves up out the building. We shut his little celebration down. Shout out to him, though, Coach Payton, though. And then, of course, we move to October the 27th. We got the Chargers matchup. That's going to be on the road. We're going to see Harbaugh, Michigan Harbaugh. And, man, that's probably going to be a tough one, fam, going out there to take on the Chargers and Justin Herbert. Harbaugh going to have his defense. Final. It's going to be an interesting contest. I'm going to give this one to the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to beat the Saints out there. October the 27th. I think Harbaugh's defense is there. Justin Herbert, they have the offense rolling. Not saying our defense can't stop anything, but I think when sometimes it comes down to a coach battle, head coach battle, strategy battle between the minds of the team, and I think Harbaugh will get that victory right there over us. So right there, that puts us as 1, 2, 3, 4. We're 4-4. Am I right? We're 4-4. Okay, so we're 4-4 right now. All right, November the 3rd, we go up to Carolina to take on the Panthers noon. I'm going to say the Saints will win that game over Carolina. No disrespect to my boys, Dave and Rashad. I think Carolina will be a better team. I just don't think, you know, they won like, what, 2 games last year? Was it 2 games? Couldn't be more than 2, maybe 1 or 2 games. I forget. But I think they're a better team. I just probably think they're about 7 wins, 6 or 7, maybe 8 at the highest for Carolina, but I do think the Saints sweep Carolina this year. And that's the only team I think the Saints sweep from the NFC South is Carolina. That's the just to keep it a buck 15 with you. So we'll put a W there. So that'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're 5-4 right now. We're 5-4 as we keep it moving. Then we play up against them Funky Falcons coming up on week number 10. Now, like I said, not September the 29th, week 4, I say Carolina got the victory there because I believe we split with the Falcons. Now, it could change depending on how bad the Falcons look with Kirk Cousins there, but we've seen Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, and Kirk Cousins have been a guy that's given the Saints problems in that system. Now, with him being there, how different does, you know, he look? And I'm pretty sure when you give a guy $180 million, you're going to pick his mind on what you was doing that you like, Kurt. You know, you're going to want to appreciate to him and kind of say, you know, what you want. So I'm anticipating Kirk Cousins to be a terrible quarterback. If he's healthy at this point and he's into week number 10, it's going to be an interesting game. But I think the Saints, like I said, if people, you could flip-flop it, but I think that the Saints split with the Falcons this year. We split with them last year. We shouldn't have split with them last year. But they're not going to sweep the Saints. It's either we are going to sweep them or we're going to split with them. And I don't think we sweep them this year. I think we split with the Falcons. And I think the home game of the two games will be where the Saints get the victory. And I think that will be that matchup. So we are currently on a 2-game winning streak now. We beat Carolina. We took care of them for the rest of the year. We are now done with Atlanta at week number 10. And right now we're standing up here at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're 6 and 4. Okay, so we all right. We're 6 and 4. All right, and right before we hit the bye week, we got some work to do. We got a matchup with Jameis's team, the Browns. Now, it's very possible that Jameis could be quarterback in this Cleveland club coming into the Superdome. It could be very possible as Jameis, because we know Deshaun Watson has a problem with staying healthy. So either he starts the year, and by week 11, he hasn't proven to us since he's been up there that he can stay healthy. So it's a very good possibility that Jameis could be quarterback in that Cleveland club in week 11, which would be interesting. Either way, if it's Deshaun Watson or Jameis Winston, it's going to be a tough task because, obviously, Deshaun Watson has given us problems in the past before when he's played. You know, he's tough. He's accurate. When he moves around in the pocket, he makes things happen, and he just has to get used to playing there. Now, Jameis is out there. It might be a little revenge factor for Jameis to want to get that W and put the Saints in an L column. So this is the interest. Let's say Jameis is out there against the Saints. There, can the Saints capitalize and get a W against a Cleveland club? This ain't old school Cleveland. This is actually a pretty decent Cleveland team. We had a pretty decent free agency period, and they ain't do too bad in the draft. So this was the game right here that kind of stumps me a bit when I was looking at the schedules. Like, I don't know what to think of that Cleveland game. You know, to me, that might be a bit of a trap game, so to speak, because we feeling good about Atlanta. It's in trappy territory. It's nasty, stinking trappy territory. And what I mean by that, you beat Carolina, you finished them off, you beat Atlanta. Like, it's, you know, we play Atlanta, we're gonna put a lot of energy and we're gonna be feeling good. And then we got Cleveland, and then the bye week is behind them. You see what I'm saying? It's literally a trappy game. It really is. So you coming off the high of knocking off Atlanta, and then you're looking at Cleveland, and behind them is the bye week where you could take a break. So we got to be careful with this Cleveland game, man. So I don't know about the Cleveland. That's the question mark. Y'all might have to help me pick that one. I'm going to just put a question mark right there. I'll come back to that one. And, of course, we have the bye. The bye follows that game. But, man, I'm kind of leaning toward a loss on that Cleveland game, to be honest with you. It's penciled in right after Atlanta win and right before bye week. And I don't know. That one there kind of got me a little nervous. All right, so anyway, and then, of course, we keep going. After we come out to bye week, we got our first game of December. It'll be a week 13 afternoon game against the Rams. Now, the Rams beat us last year. If we'd have beat the Rams, we'd have kind of secured a little situation. Went out there on, I think it was a Thursday night, and we lost the Rams game to them. It was a short week. But can we pay them back at home? We know Matt Stafford is, you know, he getting a little older up there. We know that. Aaron Donald retired, but they still got some weapons there. They still have that offensive mind out there of your boy running the team. He's still out there. And he's very much dangerous. And for the life of me, I can't see Dennis Allen beating him. You know what I'm saying? I can't. What's the man? What's the Rams head coach again? What's his name? Rams head coach. I forgot the man name. I'm drawing blanks tonight. What's his damn name? I can see his face. Sean McVay. There you go. McVay. This is going to be one of those statistics, one of those coaches games we talk about, like with the Harbaugh matchup. The Saints got to travel out there. They're at home taking on the Rams coming here. And McVay, it's a battle of McVay against Dennis Allen. And defense and offense, man. So it'll be up to Clint Kubiak to kind of to level it, even though the Rams are not the juggernaut they used to be, but are they still good enough to kind of contend with the Saints? That one there, you know, that one there is going to be a tough one, man. That one going to be tough. That one going to be tough. I'm going to get that one a loss. That's going to be a loss to me, fam. I have to put a loss on that Rams game. You know, I don't know McVay. If McVay against Dennis Allen, I don't know. I'm going to have to say that's a loss with the McVay game. Okay, and then December, the 8 matchup, noon matchup against the Giants. I'm going to say that's a W, man. I think the Giants still trying to find themselves since a couple of years ago when they did what they did, but they done fell off the shelf since then. Daniel Jones, they tried to trade him, and I don't know what Daniel Jones is going to do. Most of the time, if he can stay healthy, he might be decent, but that's the up and down nation of it. They do have Malik Nabers over there. They got a few pieces there. They still need a lot, though. So I think the Saints handle up on the Giants in week 14 and get the W. All right, then we got four more games remaining. We then, that's an away game to New York, by the way, and it's late in the season. So it might be it's going to be cold up there. Might be snow in the Giant territory going out there with the Giants. I still like the Saints to win the game. Might be a close affair or whatnot. I don't know if they're blowing them out. But I still like the Saints over the Giants in week 14 out there in New York, possibly in the snow. And then, of course, we got the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels. You know, my LSU guy, Jaden Daniels is going to moonwalk his way into the Superdome week 15. Got a young team. It's a lot of question marks around the Commanders. But a lot of people feel like the Commanders are headed in the right direction. This game right here, Jaden Daniels is a scrambling quarterback. He'll be 15 weeks into his rookie campaign. He had already established a repartee with some of his wide receivers. He got some pretty good ones up there. It's going to be interesting to see what the Saints can do. So like I said, we got a few young quarterbacks here that we should be able to take advantage of. That Washington game in the Dome, man. With Jaden Daniels scrambling around. But see, the thing is, if Chase Daniels is healthy, if Carl Granderson is healthy, if Willie Gay, a lot of that scrambling around and moving around should be at least halfway hampered. Because that's the thing. When you have these scrambling quarterbacks, that was the Achilles heel that's been messing with the Saints for a while now, even when Coach Payton toward the back of his administration. Couldn't find a way to stop these scrambling quarterbacks from doing us harm. And Jaden Daniels is a guy that not only scrambles, but he's a guy that also he gets out there and he's kind of the fastest man on the field. He can throw on a run. And not only just he's lanky and fast, but he also makes these cuts at full speed, you know, and he could be a problem. So the Saints going to have to be on their game against Jaden Daniels. And when I start looking at the Washington game, kind of shades me. With shades of RG3 beating the Saints in his rookie year. Remember that? And I'm like, no, man, please no. But our defense is better. I like what we got going on. I'm going to lean on the Saints on this side of things. I'm going to say the Saints going to get the victory over the Washington Commanders. Rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels. Shout out to Jaden Daniels. I think the Saints make it pop. And, of course, a couple of days before December, Christmas, that is December the 25th, the 23rd, we have a night matchup, week 16, 7:15 will be the night matchup against the Green Bay Packers. This will be in Green Bay. This will be a cold game, probably going to be snowing up there. And this is where I say the Saints going to get that loss. They're going to get that loss right there to Green Bay. I don't think they beat Green Bay in the snow. Now, I think they beat the Giants, but that's two different monsters altogether. We talked about McVay. They got Matt LaFleur up there, and then we're going to see these people. And I was hoping that these schedule makers would have did something like they did this past season. What if we have to see Green Bay, we see them earlier in the season, early in the season. I would have loved to see that, but they give you Green Bay in late December, and you know it's going to be snowing up there. So that's going to be a toughie That's going to be a toughie for us against Green Bay. I'm going to have to give that one to the Packers. And then December the 29th, I think that I marked that down. Yeah, I got that as a loss. So hold on, let me recap right quick. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So far, I got nine wins for the Saints at this current juncture of time. I got 9 wins. And remember, I'm picking it like they're doing what they're supposed to do. Like they solved some of the things that I brought up prior in the screen. Remember I talked about, the confidence issues the team has. And most of the times when you start winning, you win the team over. How you behave, not just during the losing, but, how you how the preparation is. Let's say they iron out some of this thing. Let's say that Clint Kubiak, for a large part, had fixed some of the major things that hampered the Saints offensively. I'm going with that mindset into the schedule. So people like you, you got them right now. They got nine, and there's still a question mark game that I have, which is the Cleveland Browns game. I hadn't called that one, which I'm kind of leaning on it being a loss because it's penciled in between us beating the Falcons and then that bye week. And I'm thinking they might be looking, you know, they put out a lot of energy to beat the Falcons. You know, they're high. It's always a games when we do that. And then we get the Browns and then we go into a bye. Usually that spells kind of problems with the Saints and whether or not we can keep our attention on the job at hand against Cleveland. That's why I'm kind of saying that might be an issue. That's a trap game, I'm thinking. And of course, the December the 29th matchup, week 17 against the Las Vegas Raiders in the Dome. Hadn't seen the Raiders in a while, man, and we get an opportunity to see them. And we know Coach Pierce runs them. They're going to be a gutty team. But I think the Saints are going to – damn, that's going to be a tough one there. Derek Carr wants to beat this team. He'll be motivated to beat the Raiders. So you got to add the Carr factor into it. He'll be motivated to beat this team. So I'm going to give the Saints a W right there. I think Derek Carr will be motivated to beat his old club and get that victory over them after us losing to the Green Bay Packers on the road. And of course, the final game of the regular season will be week 18 up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I did pick the Saints beating the Buccaneers early in the schedule. I want to say we beat them in week number 6 at home. Now, I did say that I think we split with the Bucs. I think we split with the Falcons. I think we sweep Carolina. That's just instinctually. But a lot of people don't believe in Baker Mayfield. You know, Baker Mayfield loses his offensive coordinator, Steve Kanellis, to Carolina. Does the magic go with Steve Kanellis there? Well, it didn't go with, what's the quarterback from Seattle, man? Damn it. I don't know what's going on, man. I keep Seattle. Geno Smith. Yeah, it just popped up. I was about to hit the button. Geno Smith. You remember Steve Kanellis helped Geno Smith out. So that magic didn't fade with him. And Baker Mayfield kind of lost his confidence. He talked about it, you know, and I'm pretty sure that they'll keep a similar system because I was listening to Coach Bowles. He was talking about that some time ago when Kanellis got the job. He was happy for him, and they was asking, well, you know, such and such, well, we're going to try to, you know, keep everything, you know, try to make sure everything flows smooth, that kind of thing. So we'll see what he got going on, man. But it could be very well. I could be wrong on the Tampa Bay thing, but I think we split with Tampa Bay. I think the only team in the NFC South that we actually sweep will be Carolina. That's what I think. But, you know, the following year, you ain't going to be able to do that with Carolina. They're going to have some shit for you. But I think we lose to Tampa Bay right there on the road. Now, that's on the road. And right there, let me see. Let me put all this together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 9 victories right now. Man, you got to be kidding me. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And the Cleveland game is will we get 10 with Cleveland either way? You know, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think the Cleveland game is really. I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to say this. I'm going to lean on them a little bit. If they do what they're supposed to do, let's give it to the Saints. Now, that'd be 3 wins in a row going into the bye week, and that'll be extraordinary. But at the end of the day, we do have Clint Kubiak there operating. So hopefully we could be able to have some good offensive outputs. But usually that week 17 game, that's the only thing. Like I said, it's a trap game. You're coming off the win over Atlanta. You got Cleveland, and then right behind Cleveland, a bye week at week 12. And, you know, you might get short-sighted right there. That seemed like the Saints. So I'm going to give them the victory over Cleveland. But I was leaning to a loss. But that gives the Saints 10 wins. Now, that's them doing everything they're supposed to do. Now, there is a win on here that maybe I can kind of wrestle away from myself, like the other Tampa Bay win. They could very well sweep Tampa Bay. You know, they could if they're on their game. But like I said, I think we kind of don't underestimate Tampa, man. We did that last year. And Tampa turned around. Now, people saying that's just what they're going to do. They're going to be, nah, don't do that. Because Tampa Bay, I don't think Tampa Bay a fluke. I don't think they win the NFC South this year, but I still think they'll be pretty competitive. They still got a lot of weapons there. They're going to retain some of that offensive system that they had. And like I said, man, I wouldn't underestimate Tampa Bay, you know. But nobody picked them to do a damn thing last year, and they came out there and handled their business and had Brother James at the last round table with his chest sticking out, talking mad confident. I was like, this not the same brother I remember. But shout out to Brother James, man. But yeah, that's what I got, fam. Now, listen. Now, if I was to pick it in the opposite direction, I'm not going to go through the whole schedule. I probably would say if you were to go and look at what the Saints, you know, and reverse the logic, like I talk about with the Saints handling all their business and doing what they do. At the same time, like I said, it's Clint Kubiak does not cover up everything. He doesn't cover up everything. He doesn't. Because even though it's Clint, he might be somewhat of a high degree of accountability. Your coach still not. So we kind of really, that's what I'm saying. When we look at it from the opposite angle or the opposite vantage point, things change a bit, you know, because if losses start compiling and we don't do anything about it, like Dennis Allen is just, you know, what is he going? He's going to go over there and tell Clint Kubiak something. He going to leave him alone. He ain't going to tell him nothing. Do you need anything? Such. No, he ain't going to tell me. He did that last year with Pete Carmichael. He just let Pete alone, left him alone. And Pete Carmichael come out for the press conferences and say the same shit over and over again. Same stuff, or like he was a robot, like he was mixed with Cyborg or something. He had the same program. He was running over and over again. But like I said, if it was the opposite spectrum look, then, you know, you looking at the Saints getting 6-7 wins if it's the opposite way, because a lot of the stuff that the Saints would do would be self-inflicted. You know, like we would get up a lead on a team, but we wouldn't keep the lead. So like I said, Clint Kubiak, that's why I'm telling the family members, like, there's a lot of people saying that all we need is a, you know, this, that, and the third with the offense. I'm like, man, we need a lot of stuff with the offense, you know. But Clint Kubiak is not Jesus. You know, he ain't a miracle worker. He's just the offensive coordinator. He's a smart guy. But my goodness, he got a lot of shit to do, man. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's a lot to do. He got we got plenty of talent. We always got the talent. But he has to establish mindset. He has to establish what we are, like identity. Like team identity, team four. He's got to find the right collection of players to block for him so Alvin Kamara can get to the next level. So Jamal Williams can get, so Kendre Miller and Taysom can handle their business to run the ball, because that's what it's going to be based on. He has to find the right collection of players to operate that system, and then they have to be successful enough to win enough games to keep it going, because they're going to have to be scoring, at least 26, 27 points a game, I want to say, 24 to 28 points a game, somewhere in that sphere. And the defense do what they're supposed to do to kind of keep teams to between 17 and 20 points a contest, while the offense puts up anywhere between, 24 to 28 points a game? That's a lot to ask for. And I know it's in Hoodie. Shout out to my dog, Hoodie. He did put I did watch some of the stuff, what he was doing when he was with Minnesota. Yeah, just Jefferson buzzing. He had a few people. He had a lot of people buzzing. You know, their numbers was up high. But like I said, we're going to see. I got faith in Alvin Kamara and that running attack and Chris Olave and these guys. But like I said, we got to get Carr on program, man. We got to get him saying the right stuff, not holding the ball too long. And matter of fact, we just got to get him to turn around and hand the damn ball off. But the biggest question I got is offensive line. We need to find the right collection of players at the offensive line to not only protect the 33-year-old quarterback, but also to open up the lanes from the rushing attack. So this is paramount when I look at it from the opposite angle. So, yeah. So that's what it looks like for me.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel. And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.